curse of sin, every human being that has ever been born has been at odds with our Creator. But in Christ Jesus, we have peace with God. He who knew no sin became sin. Why? So that we could become the righteousness or be in right standing with our Creator. Now, also, though, God wants us to have peace in and of ourselves. He doesn't want us to live in turmoil. He doesn't want us to, and we live in a world where everybody's seeking for peace. They're trying to find some type of peace. But as we talked about last week, we talked about I had never seen verse 7 as I'd seen it before. Because specifically in it, it says that God, that Christ Jesus will specifically guard two areas in our life for peace. Now, the word peace is used some 429 times in the King James. And as we looked at shalom in the Old Testament and the Greek word for it, it's the definition of peace is simply to be completely sound with our Creator and those around us. A state in which one's basic welfare is in harmony with God, providing freedom from worry in a state of overall tranquility. Now again, notice in Philippians 7, and I've talked about the peace that passes all understanding. I've read that all of my life. But as we studied last week, I saw that there are two areas, two battlegrounds for peace in our life. And one is the heart. The first thing, this is our innermost character, our emotional center, completely separated from our intellectual nature. We talk about, I love you with all my heart. I love you with all. The idea of the heart is our emotions. And our emotions lead us astray. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says that the heart is the most deceitful thing. And that it cannot be cured. That's why God is one day He's going to take us out of this body and give us a new body. And so we have the idea that today, as we live our life, there's a battle. Are we going to go by our own emotions, or are we going to fall in line with the truth of God? And see, truth brings peace. But then not only do we have our emotional center or our heart that tries to lead us astray, but we also have the mind. Remember, He said that Jesus will guard our hearts. And He'll guard our minds. And the mind is the opposite of the emotions, but it is the intellect. You remember in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9, the Lord said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." This is the Lord's declaration. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that God took the foolish things to confound the wise. And the weak things to overcome the strong. And so we see that our enemies to our own peace, the battleground, is our own emotions and our own intellect. We'll go by what we feel or we'll go by what we think instead of letting God's Word dictate us on how we're to live. And it's in that truth. And it's not, you know, the Bible says, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free." It's not just the intellectual knowledge of that. It's the living out of that truth. Allowing that truth to override our emotions. Allowing His truth to override our human intellect and our ignorance. But as we talked about the battlegrounds of peace, we looked at that there are three enemies to our peace. And the first one is the flesh, this body right here. You know, it fights against me. It lies to me. It tries to lead me astray. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 7. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to the law of God, for it is unable to. Folks, I tell you what. I can talk myself into anything. Somebody else may not can, but I can. My flesh and my intellect and my emotions can lead me astray easily. But then the next battle, the next enemy that we have is the world in which we live in. And I talked about it. When is the last time you've heard a cheery, upbeat reporting on CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News? Everything is dire straits. It's the world's about to explode. We're fixing to go off the edge. And all it's just, I mean, and even with the COVID, I believe that it's been used and orchestrated to make us be fearful like sheep. And then we have the enemy that we're told about in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where we're to be sober and vigilant because our enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, paces back and to trying to find a weakness. And then we saw the fact that while we have two battlefields, our hearts and our minds, our emotions and our intellect, we have three enemies, our flesh, the world, and Satan. The only way that we can have victory and the only way that we can have that peace or to live in that peace is by submitting to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis and surrendering to the truth of Scripture. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is, it says that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but are strong to the tearing down of strongholds, meaning places in our life where the enemy may have gained a little bit of strength. And we do that through the through the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word. Now, this morning, as we talk about God's peace, I want to talk about practical steps for living in God's peace. This is what I wanted to preach last week, but God kindly got me off of that. Recently, I've been trying to do better about getting my diabetes under control, get it from an A1C that's 12 down to an A1C that's 7. And for me to get to that place, for me to get to where the numbers are supposed to be, then I have to do certain things. There are certain steps in my daily life that I have to practice in hopes of living or abiding in a helpful or healthy diabetes state. What is that? I have to check my blood. I have to take my medications. I have to watch what I eat. And then I have to go for walks and do something to kind of get my heart rate up and all that. But you see that doing those things, according to my doctors, who know better than I, amen? They tell me if I do these things, then guess what? I'm going to have lower numbers. So today as we look at the Scriptures, according to God's Word, there are certain things when we're living at peace with God, when we're living in peace with God, then there's going to be certain things in our life on a daily basis. And so there's five I want us to look at this morning. Five things that if we want to live in peace with God, that we need to put into practice in our life. If we want to live in God's peace, then the first thing that we need to do is stand firm in the calling of Christ Jesus. We must stand firm in the calling we have from Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:1. So then, my dearly beloved and longed for, brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, in this manner, stand firm, or the King James, I believe, says stand fast in the Lord, my dear friends. Notice that he specifically says, he starts out in this passage with stand firm or stand fast. Be unmovable, unflinching. It's a picture of a soldier as the attacks and the bombardment of the enemy are coming in, that you stand there. That's how Stonewall Jackson got his name in the Civil War, because there were some groups, his men were looking at him, and the bullets and the bombs were all blowing up around him, but he stood on top of his horse, and someone said, look at there at our general. He stands there as a stone wall. And hallelujah today, the world needs some Christians that are willing to stand firm in Christ Jesus. Now, this is not the only time that Paul has challenged readers to stand fast or to stand firm. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and following. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared for everything, take your stand. And it continues on in verse 14. It says, stand therefore. But it's not the first time that he's challenged the people reading in Philippians to stand fast. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, just one thing, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, one mind, working side by side for the faith that comes from the gospel. To persevere, to be unmoving, unflinching, refusing to give up your position. The first thing that we need to be able to stand firm is our salvation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says this, that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should have maybe everlasting life. No, He said those that come to Him will have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Notice, we must stand strong in the Lord. Can I tell you this? If the flesh and the devil keep you questioning whether you're saved today or whether you're not saved, then the devil doesn't have to worry about you doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think you can lose it in the next moment, you're going to live so fragilely that you'll not be willing to step out on faith. Here's the thing about stepping out on faith. When you step out on faith, you've got to be willing to fall, if that be God's will. But it's time that we are settled in our salvation. The Bible says, these things have I written that you may know. 1 John 5:13. These things that I've written that you may know that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And you know what? Not only should we be able to stand firm in our salvation, we need to stand firm and proudly in our salvation. We need to let the world know I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. Matter of fact, I'm proud of it, and I stand on that. That's where I find my identity is in Christ Jesus. Because you see, if we stand fast in our salvation, then in Christ Jesus. Remember, this is a part of living in peace, right? We want to live at peace with God. We want to have His peace abiding in us. Well, see, if we get nailed down that we are saved and nobody's going to take that from us, then we'll be able to stand firm in our spiritual calling in Christ Jesus. Many people receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. However, they never get plugged into a local church. And you know what? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, that as a demonstration of the Spirit, there was given to each person a spiritual gift. You know that? Every one of us in here today, you have some type of spiritual gift. And part of living in peace or being right with God is the purpose He's given you. You see, He saved you for a purpose, and it just isn't to live in eternity forever. He wants to use you in agreement with the rest of us here at Thomas Village to lead other people to Jesus Christ, to show the glory of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, and impact our community for Him. I tell you what, me and Amy was talking the other day, and you remember I made mention, I asked Amy, I said, Amy, if we just quit it all, everything we were doing, do you reckon things would get easier? And she said, no. And then I asked her, I said, do you think I'd have peace if I was to quit preaching? And she said, no. And you know what? I wouldn't. You want me to tell you something? Maybe today some of you in here, why you don't have the peace of God, yes, you're saved, but what are you doing for Him? I mean, other than just saying I'm a Christian, God has called you to do a work for His glory. And you know what? The work here at Thomas Village is incomplete without you being a part of it. So today, as we consider practical steps, the first thing is that we should, for living in God's peace, if we want to live in God's peace, we better stand firm in the salvation and calling of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, the second thing is this. Look there in verses 2 and 3. I urge Euodia, I look these up, and that's how you say it, Euodia. And I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Now, those are women's names, and I do not challenge you to name your child or grandchild after those. To agree in the Lord. Yes, I also asked for the gospel who worked for the gospel at my side along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers or fellow laborers whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, the Euodia means, her name means a prosperous journey or a successful journey. And Syntyche means pleasant acquaintance or good luck. Now, we don't know what has went on between these two sisters in Christ there at the Philippian church. But what we can tell is this, is that there's bickering, division, and grumbling going on between these two women. And we can probably figure this out as well. You've got some that go to this church that are probably siding with Euodia. And then you've got another group that's probably siding with Syntyche. And guess what you have? If you've got one group over here and one group over here, then you've got a divide in the middle. And I'm going to tell you this. In the best of churches and in the most spirit-filled of churches, there's going to be times of division. But look what he says. I want you to be one with Christ. That was, and the second one is to seek peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to seek peace between one another. Hey, isn't it funny that the cross has a horizontal and a vertical bar? And he says for us to walk in peace, the first thing is to be right with God, and the second thing is to be right with one another. Right? And if we do those things, then we're well on our way to having a life that is lived in God's peace. If you know you're right with your brothers and sisters, and you know you're right with your Creator, then what much is there to worry about outside of that? But notice, this happens in everything. And we call it, sometimes we call these disagreements between church members, we call it church politics, don't we? Can I tell you what most of it boils down to? Not church politics, but fleshly selfishness. Somebody is not willing to give up on their desires and what they want. That's where most infightings come. But what does Scripture say? Remember, now think about this. When we don't want to let go, when we got to have our faith, our way, what are we being? We're either being moved by our own intellect or our own emotions, right? So what does the Scripture say when our emotions and our intellect tell us that we have the right to demand this? Well, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility. Listen, considering others more important than yourself. Huh? When's the last time that you've entered this building or you've entered your job or you've went somewhere and you said, when I go in there, everybody else in there is more important than I am? Ouch, right? But isn't that the mind of Christ Jesus? Remember, He robed Himself. He left heaven, robed Himself in flesh, submitted Himself to the authority at the time, and was willing to die. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, remember we talked about being right with the Lord, and now we're talking about being right with one another as steps into living in God's peace. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 24. So if you are offering a gift on the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go and be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift. Whereas the idea here is we don't physically bring things other than the tithes and offerings. Most of us here today, we serve in the church. We teach, preach, sing, sit with, or whatever. We do all that. That is our gifts to God. But if we've got division, anger, or resentment inside of us, the Bible says before we give that gift, before we serve, before we teach, before we sing, that we're to go to the individual and make it right. Before, and then come back and offer it. You see, yes, a church that's divided can do great works and do great things, but they cannot reach the full potential that God has for us. So today, practical steps to live in God's peace. Number one, stand firm in the calling and salvation of Jesus Christ. Number two, stand in unity with brothers and sisters in Christ. And you do that, then we're well on our way. We're well on our way to a life that is lived in the peace of God. Number three, stand in the joy of the Lord. Stand firm in the joy of the Lord. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now what's the root word of rejoice? Joy. It's joy. It comes from the... What is joy? Joy is not happiness. Happiness comes from the word happen, meaning to what is going on around us and being put or being acted in our life. See, there's times that certain things happen in our life and we'll be happy, but there's times when certain things happen in our life and we'll be mad, we'll be upset, we'll be scared. But joy is different. Joy is an inward excitement established solely upon Christ Jesus, His power, His promises, and the expectation of His return. If that's what joy is, remember, inward excitement established solely on Jesus Christ, His power, His promises, and His expectation, then to rejoice would be an outward expression of our inward excitement that is established in Christ Jesus, in His power, His promise, and in the expectation of His return. Do you know what? Today I don't know what could happen. They could come and kick me out of my house. They could come and take my cars. They could come and they could take away my clothing. But you know what? They'll never take away the fact that I have been justified in Christ Jesus. They'll never take away the fact that I have been reconciled with my Creator in Christ Jesus. That I am loved by the very One that spoke the earth and the skies into existence. I am never alone because He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He made me a new man on the day He said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. He has given me a hope of eternity, that this is the only hell that I'll ever have to face. And there is so much more that I can claim that will never be taken away from me because of Him. Yes, there's a reason to rejoice. You see, the thing is, I can't control... Will somebody get me a bottle of water? I cannot control the situations and circumstances that come into my life. No matter how much I want to try. But I can control how I meet those circumstances. And in Jesus' name, I can meet them with joy in my heart and inward expectation and hope. And I can express it outwardly saying, but this is the only hell I'll ever have to face. Hallelujah. Listen, Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Not only if we seek to stand in the joy of the Lord will we find the peace that God wants us to have, but we'll also find a strength to continue on. Luke chapter 10 verse 20 says, however, don't rejoice that the spirits are submitting to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. When's the last time you just let out a yell and said, hallelujah, my name is in His book and I have a home in His kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 12 through 13 says, dear friends, don't be surprised when you enter into a fiery ordeal that comes to test you as though it was something unusual happening. Instead, rejoice, even in the hard... He's saying rejoice. We have a reason to rejoice in the hard times and the trials. Rejoice as you share in the sufferings. You know that God found you and I worthy enough to share in the sufferings of His Son, so that you may also rejoice with great joy at the revelation of His glory. Or that when that trumpet does sound, that we'll be able to shout. So we need to stand firm. We want to live in peace. Well, the steps we ought to take, number one, stand firm in our calling and our salvation in Christ Jesus. Number two, stand in unity and peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Number three, stand firm in the joy of the Lord. All right, number four, y'all listening good today. Number four, we must be totally dependent on the Lord. We must be totally dependent on the Lord. Look there in verses 5 and 6 of Philippians chapter 4. Let your graciousness or your moderation be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, make your request of God. The word gracious there means to be moderate, gentle, reasonable, understanding, and kind. That the world needs to recognize us as that. Because why? Because the Lord is near. That doesn't mean we're to be walked over. That doesn't mean we're to allow ourselves to be trampled over. No, it simply means this is the idea of meekness. Strength under control is what it is. But notice there in verse 6, he says, do not worry about anything. Man, I wish it was as easy to live it out as it was to read it. Amen? But this is almost a direct quote of Christ Jesus from back over in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount, verse 31. Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear, for the adulterers eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What? Seek to be right. Seek to be right. Stand firm. Stand firm in your salvation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Paul also said something similar to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. Stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercessions for all the saints. Hallelujah today. We have a Savior that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The wind and the sea obey Him, and the fruit trees acknowledge and listen to Him when He says. So hallelujah today. What is there we cannot ask our God for that He won't supply? Amen? What is it? The thing is today, we can add, He is more than enough. But notice it says that we're to make our prayers, we're to make our petitions, we're to ask God and be dependent on God. We shouldn't expect peace from somewhere else. We should expect peace from God through the person of the Holy Spirit, that He'll bring the peace. But let me ask you this. Today, if God took away everything we didn't thank Him for yesterday, how much would we be missing right now? Huh? I think that's one reason, part of why we don't live in the peace of God, is because we don't acknowledge how good God is to us on a daily basis. That He provides us with shelter. He provides us with food. He provides us with clothing. And yeah, we've got a closet full of clothes and we got a cupboard full of food, but all it takes is one spark, one wind, one happening, and all of it's gone. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. So we see, we're to stand firm in our calling and salvation in Christ. We're to stand in unity and peace with our brothers and sisters. We're to stand in the joy of the Lord that is never ending. And we're to be dependent totally on the Lord. And then, as we move into our final one, I'm not going to put a lot of time in this, but because last week we looked at chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, and the God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know what? Sometimes we cannot help what goes and comes in our minds. But we can take control of how long it stays there, right? Notice what he says. He says, finally, in verse 8, my brothers and sisters, whatever is just, whatever is pure, commendable, of moral excellence, and is praiseworthy, do what? Think on these things. I'll tell you what I do from time to time. I'll take a passage of Scripture and I'll write it down on a little piece of paper and I'll stick that passage in my pocket. And when things, doubt, self-deprecating thoughts, wicked thoughts, when they'll go through my mind, I can't help them from going through there sometimes, but when I put my hand in my pocket and I hit that little piece of paper there, what? That goes out of my mind and the truth of God goes into my head. Because why? Because I'm ready to fight that battle. I'm ready to fight that battle. So, as we consider living in the peace of God, now just ask yourself, would you have peace, one, if you made sure that you were in right standing with God and stern firm in your salvation every day? Would that supply you some peace? Yep. What about if you sought to be in unity and oneness with your brothers and sisters in Christ? You think that would bring you some peace? Yep. How about this? If we focused on the joy of the Lord and that we continued to relive that joy over and over daily, reminding ourselves of what cannot be taken. You think that'd bring you some peace? Yeah. How about if we just got to a point to where we could be totally dependent upon the Lord? That all we sought was His will, His purpose, and His plan in our life. You think that's going to bring some peace? Yeah, I do. So you see, all these things are peace builders, peace bringers. And the last thing is this, practice what we already know. Practice. Paul's saying, what you've seen in me, what I've taught you, all that, do that. There in verse 9, do what you have learned, received, and heard of me, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me, and it's protection from you. Now remember, as we studied over in the book of Galatians chapter 5, Wednesday nights, the Bible talks about that everybody has a product of living. There's the natural, and we went through the natural. But then there's the spiritual, which we call fruits of the Spirit. And when we take the things of God, the truths of God, and put them to practice in our life, then there'll be stuff that is produced because of it. Amen? And so today, let me ask you this. Out of everything you've learned about God, all the scriptures you know, how much are you actually putting into action in your life? Can you say, I used to do this, but based on Scripture, that's changed? And I'll tell you, two of the most fundamental things that we're supposed to be living out, and I think we pass right over them. And that's found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. When they asked him, what's the most important command? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your being. And then the second one is, love your neighbor as yourself. Imagine how much would be pushed aside if we really got serious about loving God and loving our neighbors. Huh? Those, and he says, all of the law hangs on those two. All of the law is wrapped up that if we'll love God with all of our beings and love others as we want to be loved, that's going to bring peace, ain't it? I mean, it is. All these things. And you say, Brian, well, that's a work salvation. No, all these things, it's not a work salvation. It's a part of living in God's will. And when we live in God's will, remember, we said that as Christians, we're going to produce some fruit, right? And part of that fruit is a confidence of our salvation in Christ Jesus. Part of that fruit is that we're going to want to be in unity and oneness with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Part of that fruit is that we're going to have joy, and we can't help from that joy becoming rejoicing when we think about how good He's been to us. And then getting to a point where we can say, Lord, I can't even get up this morning unless you get up with me. I can't even put one foot in front of the other one unless you do it. And then if we get to where we really practice what we've already been taught, then I think not only will the peace of God be in our lives, but look there in verse 9, right at the end, and the God of peace will be where? With you. Hey, we won't just have the peace of God, but we'll have the God of peace ever present in our lives. Man, that gives me chill bumps. Holy goose bumps. Knowing that He's there. And that by submitting to the Spirit and the truth, He'll overcome the enemies of my peace. And He'll allow me to walk in His ways of peace. But more importantly, the God of peace will always be with me. Last week I said, if I could bottle peace and sell it, I'd be a millionaire. But today, I have a great honor telling you that there is one you cannot buy this type of peace. But Jesus Christ came to give you that peace. So that you will have peace between yourself and your Creator. So that you will have peace in the midst of the storms and the battles that come into our life. So that there will be peace in your home, in your career, and in your relationship. That there will be peace, though I may not know what's going to come, I know who will be with me when whatever comes. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, He came to bring you peace. And I would love to show you what that is. Maybe today you've recognized you're saved, but you don't have that peace. And one of the reasons is because you're not fulfilling your purpose as a Christian. Maybe today you don't know what your spiritual gift is. Would you come forward and pray, God, show me your gift because I want to live and walk in your peace. Maybe it's time for you to become a member here. You know what your gift is, but you just ain't been using it. Maybe today you need to become a member. Maybe you just want to have some time in prayer or have one of the deacons come and pray with you. But today, the Prince of Peace is but a breath away. If you'll just cry out in faith, Jesus, I believe the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the next step that needs to be taken. Let's stand in the word of prayer. Won't you come? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your peace. Though I may not always make use of it or allow you to bring it in my life, I'm thankful that it's there. I ask you right now to be with us in this altar call, Lord, whatever the need is, whatever the hurt is, whatever you're pushing someone to do, let your name be glorified along. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, I need your peace. Will you give me that peace? The Bible says whatever we ask in His name and for His glory, He'll give it to us. Whatever you need is. Amen. Thank you for listening this morning. And don't forget, tonight we'll be meeting at 6 o'clock. We'll be going chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Ephesians. Anything else before we close this morning?
Keep my boss in your prayers.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anything else? God bless you. We'll see you tonight. Yep.